WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is actor Danny Glover. This summer, he starred as a cop in the box office hit Lethal Weapon, teaming up with Mel Gibson. Critics and audiences have been won over by some of his past movie performances, the sharecropper Moe's in Places in the Heart, Mister and Steven Spielberg's controversial adaptation of The Color Purple. His latest role is that of jailed South African leader Nelson Mandela, this month on Home Box Office. Danny Glover was a political activist in San Francisco before he became an actor and began working in the theater. He's acted in many plays by South African playwright Ethel Fugard and made his Broadway debut in Fugard's Master Harold and the Boys.
I had a very rare opportunity to work with a friend of mine, Zates Mokai, who is a wonderful South African actor and a very dear friend, and also work with a man whose work I think I've become pretty well associated with over the last 10 years, Ethel Fugard. I mean, it's a rare treat.
One night when you were doing Master Harold and the Boys, the director Robert Benton, I believe, was in the audience.
Yes, Robert was in the audience, and he was in the audience at Yale Rep, in fact, and saw it again opening night, and thought kindly enough of me to invite me to audition or talk to him about Moe's and Places in the Heart.
When I saw that movie, Places in the Heart, there's a scene where Moe's is talking to the 9-year-old son of the Sally Field character, and he's telling the boy not to rock a rocking chair with no one in it, superstitious. And that scene was very reminiscent of some of the things that went on in Master Harold and the Boy, that kind of relationship that existed
there. Yeah, I think they both, for Willie, who I played in Master Harold and the Boys, and also for Moe's, they both became or were surrogate fathers in a sense. And it's such a moving. I remember every time I would see that scene in doing publicity, I'd start crying because it was just such a wonderful story. And Yankton, the young boy, was so, he's the most, I mean, it would be the boy you want to bring home. He was so sweet. He was such a gentleman and so sweet.
You grew up, went to college in San Francisco.
Yes, I did.
It was a very politically active time at that time during the 60s. Mm-hmm. Were you politically active?
Yes, I was very much as a college student and as well as a participant in whatever the people, community politics were at that particular time.
Were you acting at the time? Did your acting take on a sort of political statement as well?
Well, my acting came as a result of the other things.
As the political thing.
As the other things, as I became more involved and listened. And it was, I think the use of art, whether it be, and it was so strong. If you look at some of the art at that time, whether it be poetry, dance, it's a characteristic of people of a generation trying to establish, trying to find, trying to get some foothold, trying to throw off the shackles that they felt had been, that they had struggled with for so long, and try to look at a new vision.
You read Nelson Mandela's book, No Easy Walk.
No Easy Walk to Freedom. Yeah.
It had an effect on you.
Well, certainly it did. I mean, the thing about what makes things so dramatic is I'm doing a film on Nelson Mandela. I've done a film on Nelson Mandela. So one person may pick one thing that was a catalyst in my whole development at a time and my whole way of thinking. But certainly there were several books at that time. No Easy Walk to Freedom was one among many books that I read. Franz Fanon's Wretched of the Earth was another book that I read at that time. Dealing with different other philosophies politically, economically, and socially was what I was interested in.
How did you synthesize all of these things to create then the character of Mandela that we do see in the HBO special?
Well, I don't synthesize. I mean, I think that what you try to do, you try to find what are the basic things about this human being. What are the things that endear you to him because he's emotionally alive just as you are, you know, that he does the same things that you are. There's some definitely some things with Mandela that connected me to me. He was a fanatic about exercise. I understand that too. I'm a fanatic about exercise.
Doing push-ups in the prison, yeah. Running in place.
Running in place. The kind of dedication to that, which I think helps in a dedication to other things. You know, if you focus, find something that you can concentrate and focus on, that concentration becomes relevant to that, what you're doing, but also has some ramifications on other things that you do.
Was it a particular challenge for you, knowing that you are doing this character, Nelson Mandela? He's almost Shakespearean, he's heroic, but he's also a man who is still alive, who is still in jail. Trying to maintain that balance dramatically.
I don't think that's a very hard thing to do. You don't. I mean, the only thing that you do, the pitfalls are saying, I think he does it this way. I think he would be like this. In doing saying, I think he would be like this, you separate yourself from the man's ideas, his thoughts, his inner feelings. The wonderful thing about the imagination and the wonderful thing about acting is that you can assume a number of things. I mean, there are things that I could assume that he thought, that he may have thought, but only he can tell me that he didn't think those things in his innermost thoughts. You know, I can imagine those things. I can have the greatest use of my fantasy world and my imagination to think that. And so that's what the words are, you know. The words are flowery and glorious and Shakespearean and mythical in a sense. But what they do, they're my words as well.
We organized a defiance campaign. And what was their response? Our leaders were imprisoned and banned. We called the Congress of the People. And how did they respond? 156 people were charged with high treason. We called for one-day strikes and bus boycotts. We burned our passes. And how did they respond? By killing 69 men, women, and children at Sharpeville. I tell you, my brothers, my sisters, we have now the moral right to defend ourselves. Self-defense is a right. I shall fight the government side by side with you, inch by inch and mile by mile, and to victory as one. And what will you do? Will you come along with us? Or remain silent and neutral in this matter of life and death. For my own part, I have made my choice. I will not leave South Africa, nor will I surrender.
This special basically says that Nelson Mandela should be freed. Is that true?
Well, it certainly says more than that. As a general basis of what it's about, it certainly tries to shed some light on that struggle, the painstaking evolution of that struggle to the point where it is now. It moves in that direction. That certainly we can use many, 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 many more hours of film, of dialogue to discuss that and give full dynamics to what's happening, full breadth to what's happening with those dynamics, rather.
Do you consider yourself a big box office star now that you've had, well, Lethal Weapon, you're all over the place, do you?
Oh, no. I mean... What actually does that mean? You know, I mean, someone else who's making a film would have to say Danny Glover's a big box office star and does that. This business is so fickle in a way. It borders and it establishes and creates these illusions, and they're illusions in the real sense of the word. And I don't like to deal in them. You know, somebody's just willing to give me a job, and that's cool, you know?
Danny Glover, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Danny Glover can be seen this month in the HBO special, Mandela.